look into your truth, your word. May we realize the incredible love with which you loved us and the love that we're to have for each other, because we name the name of Jesus Christ as our Master. Please, may each and every one of us be changed by what we hear from you in your word, all to your good pleasure and to magnify Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his holy name. Amen. If you want, I don't know if you guys are quick at turning in the Bible, but we're going to start with Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. In this verse, we see two kinds of forgiveness. The one attitude of forgiveness that we have in God, the vertical, and then the horizontal, the forgiveness that we're to have toward one another. It's one of the one another's in the Bible. But what exactly is forgiveness? What is true biblical forgiveness? Well, let's dive in and see what the Word has to say about this. We shall see that forgiveness in both directions is multifaceted, like a jewel. If you want to turn to Numbers 21, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Okay. Now, most of you have the ESV, but in the NAS it says, "Forgive your people Israel, whom you have redeemed, O Lord, and do not place the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of your people Israel, and the blood guiltiness shall be forgiven them." Psalm 78:38. In the NAS, it says, "But he, being compassionate, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. And often he restrained his anger and did not arouse all his wrath." You'll notice that in your ESV, each one of those words for forgive, the word is atone. Atone. That's an even more difficult word to understand than forgive. So, being the nerd that I've been accused of being, I went to the Hebrew, and the word used is kafar. That didn't help me either. So I had to understand, what does that word mean? The word kafar means forgiveness, atonement, or better for my brain, simply it means to cover. In this sense, the high priest would take the blood from the sacrificed animal and sprinkle it on the mercy seat, on the top of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. This blood covering covered the sins of the nation of Israel for the year. Forgiveness means a covering over of our sin in a sacrificial sense. This is the vertical aspect we have between God and us. The horizontal aspect is seen in 1 Peter 4. And a lot of us maybe have memorized this verse, 1 Peter 4:8. "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." It's pretty beautiful. Now, why does Peter command us to love one another? Because at times, maybe at most times, We aren't very lovable. We aren't lovely. One wise man said we're pukes. We're sinners. We have an engaged mouth but an unengaged brain. Guilty. Loving doesn't come naturally, but it's one of the highest attributes of God. God chose to love the unlovable. Us. Forgiveness is a loving act. It's what God does. He's loving. That's why 1 John 4, 7 and 8, they even have a song. I don't know if you know it, but Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. Drop the mic. This type of forgiveness goes all the way back to the beginning. This kafar type of love, the covering. What happened with the very first sin? The sin committed by Adam and Eve. What did God do about it? He sacrificed animals, shed their blood, and covered their sin. He literally covered the sinners. More so, the Lord Jesus Christ is the final and perfect sacrifice. His blood he shed for our sins once and for all, and he covered his people with this eternal covering of his, which is his righteousness. We've literally put on Christ, as the Bible says. The Father sees the perfection we have as we're now clothed, as it were, with Christ, in Christ. And the application is simple. Let us treat each other likewise. Another facet of forgiveness is to lift away. The next Hebrew word is nasa. It simply means to lift away. And maybe the following will bring this into focus. Turn to Genesis 50, the last chapter in Genesis. While you're turning there, we all know the history of the people of Israel. Jacob, renamed Israel, had 12 sons. One was named Joseph. He was the one that was favored by his earthly father with a lavish outfit. And he was the one favored by his heavenly father with lavish dreams. Well, he told his brothers of this, and of course they became jealous. And well, instead of killing him, they secretly sold him into slavery. And of course, Joseph ends up in Egypt and suffers for many, many years. But eventually he's brought to second just to the Pharaoh in prominence in Egypt. Well, the family's ultimately reunited through a famine, etc., and they all set up residence in Egypt. Well, the next thing to happen was that Jacob died. The father dies. And here's where we pick up the historical narrative. Genesis 50, 15. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this commandment before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of your servants of the God of your father." In the above message, we note that the word forgive is stated twice, but their wrongdoing is stated four times. Let's count them. Please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of God, of your father. Transgression, sin, evil, and again transgression. These brothers had their sin weighing heavily on them. I mean, they were weighed down with the fact that what they did was evil. They needed forgiveness. They needed to be free of the pressing, overwhelming feeling of guilt. Sin really does weigh on us. When we do something wrong, we get it. You know, we say it's good to get something off our chest, or, you know, I need to get this off my back. We talk about a weight on our shoulders. This is from a God-given healthy conscience. This is what gives us these feelings. It's only right. We feel guilty because we are guilty. This sense of nasa, this lifting away, I mean, it can be seen in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Who's read Pilgrim's Progress here? I strongly recommend. It's a fabulous allegory of the Christian life. And a pilgrim who becomes Christian, the main character in this story, while he's walking along the wall of salvation, he sees Christ's tomb and the cross, and at this vision, his burden that he's been carrying his whole life, this burden falls to the ground. That is the nasa of it. To be forgiven in this sense is to have the weight of our transgression removed from us. Another Hebrew word for forgive is salach. It's used repeatedly in the sacrificial mandates in Leviticus chapter 4. The word means to send away. The ideas, more on this later, the ideas of forgiveness in the Old Testament are that our sin is covered, it's no longer visible, our sin is lifted off us, and our sin is sent away, separated from us as far as the east is from the west. Our sin is no longer associated with us, and God doesn't see it. We're no longer sinners, but righteous ones. If we could treat each other as ones who are righteous, as opposed to what we really truly are. In the New Testament, the Greek word apolluo is used in Luke 6. Jesus, after giving the Beatitudes, he's teaching his disciples how to live in his kingdom. And he says, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Apolluo means to loose away or to release. This word is used just before Christ feeds the 5,000. In Luke 6, you had this massive swath of humanity following Christ because no one said the things he said and no one did the things he did. Thousands and thousands of people are following Christ. And here, it's growing late. They're in the middle of nowhere. And his disciples come to him, to Jesus, and say, ooh, this is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages to buy themselves something to eat. Release them. Apolluo. Send them off. Apolluo is like when your teacher says class dismissed, you know, or a superior in the military, you know, you are dismissed, that kind of thing. You're released. You're free. We can see this usage also in Luke 13. It's a beautiful story. There was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't fully straighten herself out. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you were freed from your disability. Wow. Her disability no longer had a hold on her. She was loosed from its grip, released, free. John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And this is what we can see from a vertical aspect. Christ releases us from sin's grip. We're released from its hold on us. And in the horizontal aspect, this idea of forgiveness in the church, brother to brother, sister to sister, brother to sister, includes that release of anger, payback, no holding a grudge. Again, we're all pukes. Let's get over it. Let it go already. The person who doesn't forgive is the one who's harmed, we always hear. And boy, the counseling industry makes billions on this, don't they? So forgiveness, to cover, to lift away, to send away, to release. And now, my favorite, the Greek word charizomai. Charizomai is the Greek word that means to be gracious to give unconditional favor to. Charizomai, the root word is charis, which is my favorite word I can think of. And it's the word grace. We name churches after this word. We name people after this word. Grace. Charizomai, Luke 7:42, in Jesus' parable of the two debtors, when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. He graced them. He gave them grace. Boy, do we need this. Here's another passage in which the word is used, and I'm going to read forgive as be gracious to. 2 Corinthians 2:5, if you want to turn there. This passage is regarding a repentant brother who has been through church discipline and an awful lot of difficulty in the church because we have people in it. We'll pick up 2 Corinthians 2:5-10, starting with verse 5. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he's caused pain, it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment is, by the majority, is enough. So you should rather turn and be gracious to him and comfort him. Or he may be overwhelmed with excessive sorrow. Church discipline is for restoration. It's to produce greater love in the body and an even more powerful unity. It's not a destructive force. Back to the narrative. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you are gracious to, I also will be gracious to. Indeed, what I have graced, if I have graced anything, has been for your sake in the presence of Christ. The vertical's obvious. God has graced us in Christ. The horizontal, our forgiveness, our giving of grace, should be to even the one who is the thorn in the flesh, the spur in our saddle, the pain in our neck, the foot-shaped mouth ones that you know. Really, that's all of us. We all slip up. If you want to, you can turn to Galatians 6. Same words used. Galatians 6:10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're commanded here to grace each other. How can we not? The Father, by sending the Son, by dying on the cross and sending the Spirit, and the Spirit indwelling us, such an outpouring of grace. How can we not do likewise to each other? So forgiveness to cover, to lift away, to send away, to release, to be gracious to. Another Greek word, ephemai, it's like the previously mentioned Hebrew word salach that I just barely touched on. It means to send off or to send away, just like the other word. Matthew 6:12, the words used. The Lord teaches his disciples how to pray. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. I would actually call it the pre-cross disciples' prayer. In it, it says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Send our debts away from us, Lord. It's as if we put the offenses against us completely out of mind. That's what God did. That's what we're asking for in the Lord's Prayer. Get it out of mind, long forgotten, far off. Akin to ephemai is the other Greek word, which sounds very much like ephemai as a thesis. It's just a subtle difference. It's ascending away. And this is the term that's used by our Master at the Last Supper. Matthew 26:27-28. And he, that's Jesus, took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins," for the sending away of sins. What an amazing sacrifice. It doesn't just pay for the sins. It sends it far off, far, far away. And now we can see that we've kind of come full circle. At the Day of Atonement ritual in Leviticus 16, two animals were used. One was the sin offering. It was sacrificed in the holy place, and the blood covered the sins of the nation. The second was the scapegoat. The high priest would place his hands on the goat and would confess the sins of the people. And then the goat would be sent away into the wilderness, never to be seen again. This was the kafar, the covering, and this is the ephesis, the sending away. The sin was covered, the sin sent off. Our ultimate once and for all sacrifice is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has covered our sins forever in his blood. Our Savior also lifted our sins off us and sent them away. They no longer rest on us. They're no longer seen. They're no longer even here. Hebrews 9:12 states it very clearly. He, that is Christ, entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. In Christ alone, we have true forgiveness. Covering of our sin. The weight of guilt for our sin is lifted away and sent afar off. We're released from its death grip. The greatest giving of grace in all of human history. But there are stern warnings with forgiveness. Returning to Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord commented on his own teaching. We'll just pick it up from where we started. "Forgive us our debts," that's the vertical, "as we also have forgiven our debtors," there's the horizontal, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Now the warning, "but if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Gulp. Forgiveness comes with a price. Our salvation means we are under a master. We're slaves of sin and death, and we become slaves of Christ. We were purchased with his blood. Are we going to be obedient to our master? The meaning is really, really plain here. Now, to further illustrate this, we can go to Matthew 18. Jesus gave a parable about forgiveness. A king released a servant who owed a huge amount of money. But later, that same now forgiven servant wouldn't forgive a fellow servant who owed him a comparatively minuscule amount of money. Well, this incident came to the king's ears, and here we pick up the narrative in Matthew. And so the king said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. We are not solely the possession of, or in the possession of a Savior. We are possessed by a Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see the vertical and the horizontal here. Our Heavenly Father forgives. We are to forgive one another. This is what creates loyalty, unity, and love in the church body. And the people outside in the world say, "Wow, look at what love they have for each other." It is quite an apologetic, and it's quite a gospel that we're showing. It's an evangelistic display. Forgiveness, to cover, to lift away, to release, to be gracious to send away. We've seen what biblical forgiveness is. It's a command. Will we be obedient to our Lord and obey him? We have the indwelling Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture as our guides. They're there to help us magnify our Lord by being like our Heavenly Father and our Master and forgive. Englishman Alexander Pope was right when he said, "To err is human, to forgive, divine." I started with Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32 is a command. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now, Pastor Tony gives a benediction at the end of his messages. What he gives is Moses speaking to the Israelites in Numbers 6, 24, and 26. And well, since the sincerest form of flattery is imitation, I have mine. It's from Hebrews 13, 20, 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equipped you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."